This is the DPHRO and Rothenberg podcast. Listen live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN. This is DiPietro and Rothenberg.
It's going to be DiPietro now. This is what we're doing.
It's Damer and DiPietro and...
You called yourself DiPietro.
Listen to me eating mango. I'm DiPietro.
If you weren't so lazy and you weren't taking so much time off, I wouldn't have made the mistake.
You didn't work our show for a month. And you're going to say I'm lazy?
I listened.
Great. I'm not here. I don't know who's hosting. I don't know what they're talking about. And quite frankly, I don't care.
That's not the kind of attitude I like.
This is DiPietro and Rothenberg.
Robert Saleh is going to be my coach.
Yes.
Joe Douglas will be my GM, and Zach Wilson will be my quarterback. Say they go, I don't know, 6-9.
6-9, they're going to play two less games than other teams?
No, I didn't want to say 6-9, did I?
On 98.7 ESPN.
On the big 7 o'clock hour, DiPietro, Rothenberg, presented by Progressive Insurance. I get confused if I should call you DiPietro or DiPietro, so I don't know what to do.
Say they go 6-9.
I thought when I jumped you, I thought, you know what, maybe he's so bright that he's saying 6-9 from here, already factoring in the 0-2.
Yeah, that's what I meant.
Had you really, really been quick thinking, you would have said that. But no, you own the 6-9 and you admitted to making the mistake.
Yeah, it's too early in the morning for me to be that quick.
But you know what? In fairness to you, you've not had the kind of day Santiago has had today.
Yeah, but here's the thing, though. And this is the beauty of what we do. His mistake has been the highlight of the show for me.
Oh, yes. I mean, he's had multiple mistakes now. He completely messed up the concept of how to play the Price is Right.
I'm going to be Price is Right guy. I'll say -$2.99.
He hung up on Omar, and then he forgot to play Sounder in CMT.
We got an hour. He'll bounce back.
I don't know.
I got faith.
I don't know. Oh, wait, do we really? Here's what I will bring to the table right now. Do we really want him giving out the 3 stars, or should we have RJ give out the 3 stars today?
I don't know. After RJ's CMT performance, I don't know. Maybe you should give out the 3 stars today.
Wow. So the two of them have been so bad in your mind, I am the winner?
At this point, yeah. I mean, there's plenty of time left, but I mean, RJ was dead to me on Friday. He's got to earn that back.
Why? Because he picked the Patriots?
Patriots.
This makes no sense. Because against the K-Show picks, I said I didn't want to take the Patriots and upset you. You're like, no, I would have been fine with that. So you'd be upset with me if I took the Patriots -6, but RJ taking the Patriots solely to win bothers you.
Yeah, because he by himself wins. I mean, if you take it and that's a show wins. And now I got to see them tweeting out that they have the lead on us and everything else.
They're up by a game with 15 weeks to play.
I don't like it, though.
Well, I don't like it either, but to say it's early would be an understatement, no?
Well, you say that, and you've already, I mean, we're 2 weeks in, you've written the Giants off already. You said their season's over.
Yeah, but ours is not. We're fine.
Right. Well, I mean, you keep picking games the way you're picking games. It's going to be over.
Oh, my God. You know what? You call them 555 every week. Let me know how it turns out.
See, but I wouldn't do that, though. I want to collaborate. I want us to go over the games.
The games. We spend like 20 minutes going over the games.
Yeah, but that's at 645. By the time I make the pick at 555, things have changed.
What changed? What changed from the Steelers and the Raiders from us dissecting it at 6:45 in the morning to when I called into the K-Show at 5:55 in the afternoon?
Because that wasn't our best pick. Every pick but
then
that
you know
pick
what?
One.
When we finished at 6:57, you should have said, I don't love the Raiders and the Steelers. Don't take that game.
You didn't tell me you were taking the Raiders and the Steelers.
But it was one of the five on the table.
Oh, my God. Forget it. I'm not going to win the argument. You want to do your own thing, that's fine. I'll make the pick this week, and we'll win.
Okay, great. You're going to threaten me with that?
Oh, maybe I just throw it. Maybe I say, you know what? Screw it. Dave doesn't want to participate. I'm just going to throw in the towel.
We're not going to throw. You know what? You throw in the towel, and we start hitting. We'll left and right, we'll hit every game.
Do we have RJ Bell tomorrow? Do we know?
I don't think you know.
I mean, he's your guy.
With RJ. He's I think the appropriate word with RJ Bell is he's squirrely.
He looks squirrely.
You'd never know. He's got He's got special numbers. He has something on his phone where if you have a text chain going with him, he can make it vanish on your end.
Yeah, I want to know what that is. I like the idea of that.
Like, that's Vegas.
That is, yeah.
You're asking me to track down a guy that could do stuff like that in the Vegas night, hours behind us. Yes. He could be doing anything at this time of night. We don't know what he's doing.
Where's he going in Vegas? I mean, come on, stop.
Oh, please. Where's he going?
He's on his couch.
He's probably stealing croissants from a buffet as we speak.
Yeah, I mean, he's at a buffet. He's not. This is a guy who goes to the buffet at a certain time so he can rip the buffet off.
Exactly. Taking advantage. He found like the sweet spot to take advantage of the buffet to save like $8 or something.
I picture him like that scene in Rounders where a guy's been playing cards for 48 hours and he's just still at the table. That's what I think's going on.
I once played blackjack for 36 straight hours.
That's a drop.
Let me put my surprise face on.
And I won big money.
Well, I would hope so. If you sat at a table for 36 hours and you were losing big money, I would say you have a real problem.
Oh, there were issues back in the day.
I think we've established that.
Yeah, real issues. But I'm better now, thank you.
Well, that's good. Let's just not go back to that place, although I do want to take you to Vegas at some point.
Okay.
I was told the other day that the experience at Allegiant for the Raiders game was crazy. It was amazing.
I once played blackjack for 36 straight hours.
You let him go to Vegas, we definitely not going to see him.
And then the pregame show at the Golden Knights is supposed to be like...
Oh, when they take the ice?
The best in sports.
Looks phenomenal.
So we should make it... We'll make it a work trip.
Yeah, we're not going to do it, though.
Why?
Because we say we're going to do it, we'll never do it.
I think we should do it. We can take the wife with us.
I don't want it just to be me and you. I want Ray to come. I want RJ to come. Like, I want to make it a show trip.
Yeah, well, that's a show trip. The wives can come.
I don't see how that happens.
Why?
Because what do I do with my kids?
Well, I mean, you have someone that can watch them for a couple days?
Not really.
No?
Not really.
This feels like Dave saying, in not so many words, if we're going, we're going. And I'm going alone.
Yeah, that's, what
that's what that feels like.
That's not what I'm saying. And now I just also want it to be defined. You're going to be... funding my bankroll.
I'll fund.
Okay. I once played blackjack for 36 straight hours.
Yeah.
And I won big money. You're burying the lead there.
I feel like this last couple minutes have been very incriminating.
I don't see how.
What do you mean the last couple? He started the show off by telling us that he wouldn't, if his kid got hurt in baseball, he would have said, his kid asked him, if Ben gets hurt at baseball, would you leave the couch on a football Sunday to go see him at the hospital?
All very true, but that's a completely different conversation. That's a whole other mess. We're just talking about Vegas and blackjack. And
it's no mess. There's nothing wrong.
Disappearing and making sure that the wife doesn't come to Vegas with him.
She's welcome to come. We have nothing to do with the kids.
I'll bring the kids. That's a family trip.
And it's, to Vegas. And it's a very different trip if Sherry comes as opposed to if it's just me.
But why? Sherry, you hang with Cass?
No,
we go to a couple shows.
No, not in Vegas.
Ange will be there.
No,
Santiago will be engaged soon.
No, I don't think that's happening. I don't think any of these things are happening. If you want to go, the four of us, and you're going to fund my bankroll, I will go.
I don't think you will.
I'll go right now. Right after the show, let's go to Vegas. We'll do tomorrow's show from Vegas. We'll come back on Thursday.
All right, let's go. I'll look at flights now.
Okay, let's
I'll
go.
Leave.
Okay.
You let him go to Vegas, we definitely not going to see him.
Let's go. Away we go. When we return from Vegas, what do you think the Yankees are looking like? I'll tell you what. They sure as heck better win these next two games.
They have to.
Because if they don't beat Texas the next 2 days, I mean, I don't love their chances to begin with. But if they don't sweep this series, how can they possibly get to the postseason?
Well, they'll be hard-pressed to. I mean, they put themselves in the spot right now where, I mean, you lost 2 of 3 to Cleveland. You had that gross loss to Baltimore. And now you're in a spot where, I mean, these are must-win games. They're must-win games. You got Boston for 3 after this. You got Toronto for 3. And then you finish off with Tampa. And I can promise you all 3 of those teams would love nothing more than to knock the Yankees out of the playoffs.
The Rays would love it. And there's this sentiment that, and I don't know where this comes from, that the Rays are just going to mail in that last series. I don't agree with that. Why would they do that? They're going to play Friday, Saturday, Sunday of next weekend, and then they won't play till the following, at least Thursday, if not Friday, Saturday, and then a day off. Why would they hold anybody back next weekend?
I don't know why you would risk the – I mean, why would you risk that, though? I mean, if you had the opportunity to keep a team out of the playoffs like the Yankees, I mean, you take advantage of that.
Of course. And you know they don't like the Yankees.
Of course they don't. I mean, who likes the Yankees? You think Boston likes the Yankees?
I don't think anybody likes the Yankees.
The problem is, forget not liking them, the problem is the teams aren't scared of the Yankees anymore. That's the problem.
Which is a major issue.
Which is a huge issue in that division.
Well, what is there to be scared about?
Not much.
Really? Like, they have one great pitcher. Their bullpen doesn't terrify you at all. Their lineup, which should scare you, it's fine. It's not intimidating. They have, you know, outs in the lineup every single night. What is there that would terrify you about playing the Yankees?
Reputation. I mean, size.
And really? I mean, really, you think the teams go into games now saying, like, 2 years ago, I'd be terrified of this team, so I'm scared now?
No, of course not. But I'm saying, I mean, on paper, when you look at their lineup, it would be, I mean, it looks daunting. Going up against Gerrit Cole isn't easy.
Well, that's the thing that would scare you. But even Gerrit Cole, I mean, what's their record when Gerrit Cole has started games this year? Not great.
15-13. They're 15-13 when, you like how I had that right there? 15-13
I do.
When Gerrit Cole starts.
I actually knew it, but I threw it out there in hopes that you would have it, that we could have that conversation.
Yeah, they have not taken advantage of having their ace in the mound.
So this is a guy, we just did CMT, and the three choices for Cuddle, Marry, Trash were Cole, Ray, or the field. And each of us had Cole as the Cuddle. And he's 15-13 in games that he started this year.
The Yankees are 15-13, yeah.
15-13.
Ah, a resurgence for the field.
No. That was not a great CMT, to be fair.
The Yankees have been a disappointment. There's no two ways about it.
But you're telling me that if they don't get to the postseason, they're going to run it back with the same brass next year.
No, I said the same. Yeah, I said the same GM.
And manager.
The same team.
You think the manager and the GM are both back next season?
I think that, listen, I think the GM comes back. Yeah, he's got a year left on his deal. I think the GM comes back. The question is, you know, what happens with Aaron Boone? Because it's going to be someone like Aaron Boone. Or do you make some changes with this team and give Aaron Boone another year to figure it out? I think they look at this year as everyone's underachieved outside of a couple guys. That's
Judge.
It.
Judge.
Judge, and I mean, Stan, the fact that Stan stayed healthy for the most part is a win.
Fine, we're going to sit here and say that Stanton's had a great year because he stayed healthy?
Well, no, but he's had a pretty good year.
He's had a pretty good year. I agree.
You know what I mean? I mean, he's over 30 home runs. I mean, he's had a pretty good year. Play the outfield, which is nice that he can. I mean, we've established that he can stay healthy and play the outfield, which I think is big moving forward. But, I mean, Urshela hasn't been good. Glaber hasn't been good. LeMahieu's not the same player. Voit's been hurt. Gary Sanchez hasn't been great. Hicks has been hurt. I mean, go up and down the list. They have not had a good season.
It's been a free-for-all. Right? It's been awful. But if we sit here and we say that Cashman is ultimately so loyal, then why wouldn't he run it back with the same guys thinking they can have a different result next year and be loyal to the players that he's been loyal
to
the entire time?
Because you've already seen that change, though. I mean, he's not stupid. I mean, is Gleyber Torres playing shortstop anymore?
No.
Okay, so, I mean, let's scrap that. He's not going to be the shortstop moving forward.
But they had to rejigger the whole infield just because Torres is incapable.
I understand that. But I think you've obviously seen, okay, we realize now. We were hoping that he could play short. He can't. Because not only is he just an average shortstop, it affects what he does offensively.
He's not even an average shortstop, by the way.
Okay, so below average shortstop. Yep. The only reason you would let him play shortstop is because he's an elite offensive player, which he's not anymore. Like, I would even question why he's still in the lineup.
Because his name is Gleyber Torres.
That's it.
That's the only reason why.
Because, I mean, I would feel better about having LeMahieu at second and Urshela back at third and then Velasquez or Wade at short.
I agree. And they add a different dynamic to this team, too.
Exactly right.
Right? I mean, Wade puts pressure on the defense. Velasquez is, an elite defensive shortstop. But the only reason that he plays day in and day out is because of the track record. And honestly, and I mean this sincerely, and his name is Gleyber Torres. That's it.
But here's the thing, though. I mean, in that... We keep talking about this Yankees team, and the one word that comes to mind is inconsistent, right? They've been a roller coaster. There's been too much inconsistency. When you build a team that has so much, I mean, is so dependent on the home run, I mean, by definition, isn't that team going to be inconsistent?
But not this inconsistent.
Well, yeah, they're not this inconsistent, but because the guys that were in this lineup that were supposed to be, you know, the ones that could be the consistency haven't had good years. DJ LeMahieu not being DJ LeMahieu has been a huge problem for this Yankees team.
He's been a huge problem. I mean, you go around this team, almost all of them have had subpar seasons, so it's a major issue, and that's why we're sitting here with 11 games left, and the Yankees are on the outside looking in for the postseason. So, I mean, you tell us, 800-919-3776. Do you think at the end of the day, when we get to next Sunday night, we're looking and saying, all right, at least they got in. Or we're looking saying, you know what, changes have to be made.
Thanks for listening to the DPietro and Rothenberg podcast.
And welcome aboard.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want. Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
So at the end of the day, we get to next Sunday, which is what, October 3rd? That's amazing. Are the Yankees in the postseason?
You're asking me that question?
I'm asking you the question.
For take integrity, I'm going to say yeah. They'll find a way.
Find a way, huh? I don't know,
find
man.
Find a way.
I don't know. I mean, all year long, I just kept thinking, you know what? It's gonna change. They'll be fine. They'll figure it out. They win 13 in a row. They had a huge lead in the wild card. And now we're 11 games left, and they're on the outside looking in. I don't think they do. I don't.
Well, I mean, it's tough. I mean, they've given you no reason to feel great about it. They haven't. I mean, this year's been... it's been a disappointment. I don't care how you want to look at it. It's been a disappointing season. It has. And it's been a roller coaster. It's been a whole bunch of ups and downs. And a lot of guys underperforming. And now you're left
with... been a struggle. Everything has been a struggle this year for the Yankees.
I mean, even last night. I mean, there was no reason for that to be a one-run game last night.
No. You're up 4-0. Cortez is rolling along. You left him in too long, right?
Well, I don't know about that. I mean, he was rolling. I mean, he was rolling at that point. And then, I mean, he gets himself in trouble. I mean, wheels started to fall off.
Right, but it happened quickly, right? It was home run, double, single, double, and all of a sudden you're 4-2, and then you're 4-3 at the end of the inning. I mean, listen, you got to give him credit that they found their way to the finish line. They could easily let that game get away.
Yeah, well, listen, I mean, a win's a win. I mean, anytime, you know, you're shaking hands after a game, that's a good thing. So you take the win. It doesn't matter how it looks, but it's another one of those situations where we know this in baseball, especially down the stretch here, is, you know, the decisions you have to make last night, how those decisions will affect you tonight and the following night.
Yep. The fact that you're playing a game that's so close to the vest. Right. Now, is Chapman fully available tonight? There's a lot of question marks. So... I mean, you claim, and I don't know what's true with you or not, that you don't like the Yankees. Do you want the Yankees to get in just so we can have postseason baseball here in New York, or would you prefer they miss out?
I would prefer at this point... Oh, that's a tough question, though.
It's a great question.
I don't want to stop talking baseball, so you put me in a tough spot. That's how I got myself in trouble last time.
Take a minute. Here, I will let you discuss it with yourself. We'll take a couple calls. I'll return to you at the end of the segment. All right?
All right.
All right. TJ in the Bronx. Good morning, TJ. You're on 98.7 ESPN.
Hey, Dave. How you doing? I hope I can say how you doing at this segment. But
oh, yeah, no.
Really,
you're welcome
I'm
to, TJ.
Off. All right. Sorry. I'm just pissed off because I don't think Gleyber Torres, he's not who we traded for. So what is the, you said he has to be in because he's Gleyber Torres. Who is Gleyber Torres? What has he done? Nothing.
What has he done?
Put
no, come on.
Back in the game.
This year, he's been subpar. But over his career, I'm
okay,
sorry. They're not going to bench Gleyber Torres. They're not going to do it. Down the stretch of the season, he's going to be your second baseman.
I'm sorry to cut you off.
It's potential. It's based on potential. It's the fact that you saw, I mean, 2 years ago, you saw what he's capable of doing. And I think everyone was just willing to write off last season because it was a 60-game season. So for the guys that struggled last year, it was like, pandemic season.
Which makes sense.
Yeah, which makes sense. I mean, start, you restart, he comes back, he's not in shape. He was criticized for it, and then he had a bad year. And we said, okay, you know, that's fine. 60 games, don't worry about it. And then he shows up, and
he's had a worse year.
Yeah, worse year. It's been bad, man. I mean, it's all of a sudden, his power's gone. Defensively, he struggled. I mean, the fact that, they were adamant, he's going to be our shortstop. That now, this late in the season, they had to juggle the infield.
Because you're panicked.
Get him over at second base.
Because he's not good. I mean, they finally got to the point where it's like, we can't make excuses for this guy anymore. He's not a good shortstop defensively. He's just not.
Well, because Redding was on the wall. I mean, people know what's going to happen if they don't make the playoffs. Everyone understands it.
You say that, but what happens if they don't make the playoffs?
If they don't make the playoffs, there'll be changes with the roster for sure. That's a guarantee. And then you have to make the decision whether or not you're keeping Aaron Boone. I don't blame Aaron Boone. I know Yankees fans, they're going to look for...
They need somebody to blame.
A pound of flesh, but I don't blame Aaron Boone for this.
Let's go to Nick in Westchester. Good morning, Nick.
Good morning, gentlemen. Just to go off that point, if the Yankees don't make the playoffs, what's the number one thing they have to address first? Does it start with Aaron Boone's job? I don't like to blame Aaron Boone off the bat, but does it start from the top down, or do they just need to make a couple of changes?
They definitely need to make changes. I'm not of the opinion that Brian Cashman gets fired. He's got a year left on his deal. I think they look at this season as...
And they love him. They love Brian Cashman.
He's part of the family, man. He's been there forever. And, I get it. They spend a ton of money, and they haven't won a championship in a while. I get it. And Yankees fans, that's success for them, is winning championships. Just making the playoffs, ALCSs, that's not what they... They don't consider that. They're not hanging banners for that. So I understand that.
Nor should they this season.
No, I understand it. I get it. But I think they look at this year as one of those years where it just so happens that everyone's having down years. And they make some adjustments to the lineup, and things can get better. But, there's so many things that have to be fixed with this team moving forward. You got to figure out what you're doing with Gary Sanchez. What are you doing with Gleyber Torres?
Well, what are you doing with Rizzo?
First base.
What are you doing with Voit?
I guess Hicks is going to come back and be your center fielder, I guess.
I guess, which can it leads me to zero confidence with that.
Pitching, you got to address the pitching.
Kluber back?
No. No, is he? You got Tyone. You got Cole.
Yeah.
You have Severino back.
Yep. He's available now out of the pen.
Nestor Cortez has been great. I don't know where he...
Are you going into a season where Nestor Cortez is in your starting rotation, though?
No, probably not. But again, he's going to be a guy that you can count on because you're going to need... someone's going to need to pitch innings. Guys are going to get hurt. That's inevitable.
I'd like him on the team. I just don't know that I want him every fifth day as a starter.
So you'll have Jordan Montgomery.
Yep.
The problem, though, is the lineup and the inconsistency with the lineup. The offense has really been the thing that stands out.
Because they should be better. They should be better offensively.
They should be better
offensively. They've been tremendously disappointing. All right, I want my answer from you now. Are you rooting for the Yankees to get into the postseason?
No.
Really?
No, I'm not.
So next Sunday, Yankees and Tampa, they win, they're in. They lose, they're out. You're rooting for the Rays.
I'm rooting for the Rays.
I've never loved you more.
Well, think about it. We'll get crazy calls. This guy needs to be fired. At least it leaves the door open that Cashman could get fired, and we could scoop him up.
Oh, God. What kind of a world would that be?
Could you imagine that?
No, but I feel like it's going to be more Epstein or Billy Beane for the Mets than it would be Brian Cashman.
Why not add him to the mix?
Be great. It really would be. All right, so you're rooting against the Yankees. Terrific. Just terrific news. Let's get back to the NFL. 800-919-3776. We had this conversation earlier. I want to revisit it. Do you have more confidence that the Jets or the Giants are in the postseason first? It's clearly not going to be this year. It's hard to envision it'll be next year. But who gets back first? What organization, as we sit here on September 21st of 2021, do you have more confidence in? The Jets? Very little. The Giants? Maybe less.
Thanks for listening to the DPetro and Rothenberg podcast.
I'll give it to you whenever you want it.
Looking for more access to the show? Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook @DR on ESPN.
right at 8 o'clock today. Mike Tenenbaum right on the spot at 8 o'clock, and he thinks the Giants are the 0-2 team he has the most confidence in right now in the NFL to make the playoffs.
He thinks they're an 0-2 team that could still make the playoffs. You think they're an 0-2 team that's dead?
Well, I will say this. They, in my mind, are way closer to dead than they are to making the playoffs potentially.
Don't backtrack now. I mean, your take was a lot stronger than that.
I think they're dead. You think the Giants? Yeah, how are they going to make the playoffs?
We went through earlier in the show,
and there was like three or four games that you say they should win.
Yeah, so don't yell at me.
How about why this is a terrible take? Indianapolis is 0-2 in a division that's not great.
The second I heard it,
it's a terrible take.
I was like, there's no chance.
Minnesota is 0-2. How could you have that feeling?
I
got to tune into their show just to listen to how crazy it's going to make me.
Yeah, I don't listen. Maybe it's just it's shtick. I don't know. I can't imagine.
I don't think it's shtick. I think he believes that. But you're telling me that you would take the Giants over the Colts and the Vikings to make the playoffs right now?
No. No, I mean, it's probably more to do about division than anything else.
Oh, please. I mean, the Vikings should be 2-0.
Yeah, probably.
I mean, the Colts, you know, if they don't lose their quarterback now, I don't know if he's going to miss time. That certainly changes your view.
He sprained both ankles.
I know he did. But I don't understand how you could look at the Giants and say, you know what, I believe. I mean, they started 0-2 5 years consecutively, 8 of 9, and you look at them and you're like, yeah, you know what, I think they'll be fine. They haven't had a winning record since 2016. And Max at 8 o'clock this morning is going to tell us how the Giants have a real chance to get to the postseason?
Yeah, that's back-to-back days for them, though, too. I mean, Monday you had, I'll tell you why it's time to panic about Zach Wilson. I mean, whoever's writing those teases, they got to take a step back.
Here's the thing, though. If you wrote a tease, if RJ wrote a tease and gave it to you and said, all right, read this because we need it for tomorrow, whatever, and you're like, hang on a second, I'm not saying that. Like, Keyshawn yesterday and Max today, they're the last line of defense. They still can stand up and say, wait, I don't believe in this. I'm not going to read that.
They must believe it then.
That's my point. That Max looks at the Giants and says, in some crazy, wild way, yeah, you know what? At 0-2, I still think the Giants have the best chance to go to the postseason of any of these 0-2 teams, which to me is a crazy take.
Yeah, I don't understand how, though. See, that would be the question I asked him. I mean, the first question would be this. Do you think that there's a team right now in the NFC East that wins a wild card spot?
And the answer would be no.
Okay, so if the answer is no, okay, so of the teams right now in the NFC East that you've seen play through 2 weeks, which team do you think is most likely to win the division? It can't be the Giants.
Not the Giants.
Well, of course not.
No, of course not. How about this? Right now, putting you on the spot.
Washington.
What?
Dallas looks better already, right? Dallas.
Yes.
I mean, Dallas went toe-to-toe with Tampa.
Considerably better than the Giants.
Considerably
yes.
better. No one expected. I mean, even going all the way across country to L.A. to play a Chargers team that looked great in Week 1, and they're, I mean, shorthanded, to say the least, on the defensive side of the ball, they find a way to win that game. That's a humongous win for them. So you already said Dallas is the team that you expect. You can't say the Giants are second. They just lost to Washington.
No, what I was going to tell you is I think they're fourth.
Listen, they lost to Washington, so you can't put them ahead of Washington. You have to go Dallas, you go Washington, and then it's...
And then I go Philly.
It's either Philly or the Giants.
I am at the point, prove me wrong, I am going to go against the Giants continuously until they prove me wrong. And when they do, maybe I'll change my tune. But until that, I'm sorry, I'm not doing it.
Yeah, I don't know what you could have said. I mean, I don't know, outside of the offense looking more creative and Daniel Jones playing.
He played well. And you know what the shame of it is? Is that he played so well and it got so little discussion because of the way they lost the game.
No, we talked about it, how well
he
played.
But not, I mean, if that field goal stays no good, that is the defining discussion of the Giants' win against Washington.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that.
Like you discussed, like, wow, maybe we have our guy. You haven't heard a lot of that this week.
Well, no, because this is what happens, though. I mean, this is what happens when you lose. Yeah, you're focusing on negatives. You nitpick the entire thing, the reasons why you lost. You don't focus on the positive stuff. It becomes
an
afterthought.
How can you?
You can't because you made. I mean, you made mistakes that cost you.
Usually I nap right at 8 o'clock today. I'm not napping today. I'm gonna go nap free. I'm gonna listen to Max's take on the Giants.
I'll tell you what, though, as a Giants fan, what would aggravate me the most, in all honesty, like you already know, as a Jets fan, what aggravates me. As a Giants fan, what would aggravate me the most about what's happened over the first 2 weeks? Obviously, defense is at the top of that list, secondary especially. But I have a head coach that preaches discipline,
yeah,
and not making mistakes,
and fundamentally
run laps.
Sound, yeah.
And then week one, you got him throwing a challenge flag, losing a timeout. And then week two rolls around, and between the penalties and everything else that happens, it's like where did it go?
Week one doesn't bother me as much because I felt like the game was over and it was him in the heat of the moment being frustrated and angry and maybe knowing that he was making a mistake, but that game was over regardless. Week two, you could argue that his lack of attention to detail and focus and the team having the same cost them the game.
No. Listen, I'm not disagreeing with what you're saying. I'm saying if you, Dave Rothenberg, and me, Rick DiPietro, are in that locker room, and you already know, right? Like, this is you're coaching grown men. So for grown men to buy into this whole premise of, like, we're running laps, coaches are running laps, this is a football guy, like, just the way he talks, like, it's a lot to take in, right? But it seems like they've bought in. You need to know, as the coach, you're preaching this, you can't afford to make mistakes like that. Like, if you're not winning, and then on top of that, all of a sudden, you start making mistakes like that when the whole time you spend in practice talking about, you know, the discipline and not making mistakes and making guys run laps, and then you turn around and throw a challenge flag and lose a timeout? You don't think guys see that?
I think you lose credibility. I sure do. All right, let's get to the calls. 800-919-3776. Paul and Hawthorne. Paul, you're next up on 98.7.
Hey, what's going on, guys? How's everything going?
We're doing all right.
So, man, I gotta agree with you, Dave, man. I'm a Giants fan, and this 0-2, it's killing me. You know, this last game, proved it. You know, Danny looked pretty good, but there was just too many drop balls, man. I mean, you had that one that was in the end zone, and you had the one that was, I think, on that conversion for Shepard. And then a lot of just useless penalties that hold. And then the most famous one was the offside for us to lose the game. But, yeah, man, I just don't think that the Giants are going to get anywhere near the playoffs this year. I mean, I'm the only Giants fan here at my job, and I constantly get battered about it. Like, I come into work, and I just get hounded. But I do have a question for you guys.
Yeah.
So, seeing that we have a Jets fan and a Giants fan, what burns more? Is it us being 0-2, or is it seeing Sam Darnold being 2-0? So, I just wanted to ask you guys that.
Thanks. I mean, that's more for Rick, because the Sam Darnold has really very little impact on
me. It doesn't bother me. Like, I don't, like, Sam Darnold, I mean, I wish him luck. He needed to change the scenery. We needed to reset the franchise. It's fine. I mean, I expected him to go to Carolina and be better than he
but
was.
But how far? At what point? Like you don't want him to have ultimate success. You don't want them to win the division, do you?
They're not going to win the division. I'm not worried about that. No,
right, listen, but at what point? Like, at some point, you probably have to be like, all right, enough is enough. I don't want this guy to win.
Yeah, I'll let you know when that point is. Like, I'm happy for the kid. I really am. Like, I don't want to see any kid's career ruined because of, you know, how the team handled him. He was put in an awful, awful situation.
See, you're a better person than I am. If Daniel Jones ultimately fails here and goes elsewhere, I don't want to ever watch him play well.
Yeah, but here's the thing, though. You said this, and I agreed with you when you said it. Ultimately, it's going to be how good is Zach Wilson. Will dictate how I feel about Sam Darnold.
That's correct. Yeah.
So the better Zach Wilson is, the easier
it'll be for you to deal with. You know what? Darnold's really good. That's fine.
Yeah, that's fine. Like, if Darnold's really good and Zach Wilson, you know, ends up being a top five quarterback,
it won't bother you. I agree with that. And that's today's Big Blue Report, brought to you by Nissan. Nissan's an easier choice than ever with their exciting and fuel-efficient lineup. Now get great offers across their full line. Shop at your local Nissan store and NissanUSA.com. Let's get back to the calls. Let's continue along here. Oh, Mr. Jet, Ira in Staten Island. Good morning, Ira.
Hey, good morning, Dave. Good morning, Rick. Before I get to the football stuff, I did a real bad job yesterday, Rick. Uh-oh. You know, maybe I missed that part of the show. A belated, very happy birthday, and many, many more to come.
Thank you, Ira.
God bless.
Very heartfelt. Like, you can tell that Ira probably beat himself up over the course of the night, not wishing you a happy birthday yesterday, and made amends today.
I definitely did. When I got off the phone with you guys yesterday, and I said, oh, man, what did I do? Yeah, so, you know, listen, happy birthday. But getting with the Jet and the Giant stuff, listen, you know, neither franchise right now is looking very pretty. But the one reason I'm going to give the Jets like an eighth of an inch closer to getting to the playoffs right now than the Giants, that I think if I had a crystal ball, I just think the Giants are going to end up with a tear down in the organization and a restart. Where I think the Jets, even though Wilson, you know, we saw what we saw Sunday, I think they'll be a year or two ahead of the Giants after the Giants tear it down. So that's why I'm going to give the Jets the edge to get to the playoffs first.
I'll say this, Ira, too. As bad as Zach Wilson was, and I can't, I don't know if I can explain to you why I feel this way, but there's something about watching Zach Wilson play. There's something about listening to him after games that gives me confidence.
Yeah,
I think on the field you can see the talent.
That's the difference.
Like, and I don't know if I ever felt that way about, like, I was hoping Sam Darnold would be really good, but I don't know if I ever remember feeling the same way about Sam that I feel about Zach Wilson for right now.
Really? So after that first game against Detroit, when we did that show that Tuesday morning, you felt great about Sam Darnold.
No, listen, I did. I mean, I was at actually, you know, at an event for that game with a bunch of Jets fans. And then
I don't know how you do it,
pick
deal
six
with that. I hate
and then
it,
bounce
hate
it
that.
Back.
Thanks for the call, Ira. We
no, I don't know. It's just there's something. There's something about watching this kid play that gives me confidence. Like, he exudes that kind of confidence, and then listening to him, you know, after games, having a chance to speak to people that have been around him and know him, I think his teammates feel the same way.
Maybe so. I would be terrified right now.
Well, I mean, listen, if this is something where it starts bleeding into week three and he's not learning from these mistakes and he's, you know, continues to, you know, just throw the ball around and turn it over, then yeah, I would start to get concerned. But from everything I've been told about this kid, is that, you know, he's able to learn from this and get better moving forward.
Good. I hope he does. I want to watch him struggle all year long.
I am willing to write that game off as home opener, trying to do too much.
Fine.
Going up against the Patriots.
It's fine. All right, so then let me ask you this. When, if this continues, when is your, oh, come on, you got to be kidding me moment?
Whew. I'm going to give it some time. I'm willing to be patient with this one.
Okay.
So if he has
another bad game in Denver this week, which certainly could happen.
That's a talented
team.
No, I mean, it could have a bad game. It can't be as bad as the Patriots game was.
I'll tell you when he's got. He has two games that he has to be better in. Home next week to Tennessee, and then early morning Sunday, October 10th in London against the Falcons.
Yep.
He's got to be better in those two games.
Well, he will. I mean, you got to remember too, man. I mean, this is a huge jump this kid is making. I mean, you mentioned it earlier. This isn't Mac Jones going from, you know, Nick Saban winning the national championship with Alabama, where
right.
his team is flush with, I mean, he's playing in the SEC against the best competition, and his team's flush with first round draft picks. This is, you know, and I get it. Listen, playing quarterback at BYU is a big deal. It's a huge deal. But that's a substantial jump.
Oh, it's nowhere near the same. Nowhere near. I don't want to get to the end of the year and say, you know what, I believe in this kid. That's all I'm looking for if I'm a fan of the Jets. That's it. Just little baby steps. At the end of the season, I know I have the quarterback of the future. Here's your shot to qualify for the Week 3 Pigskin Payout. It's your chance to play in the 98.7 Sportsbook and win $250 or up to $1,000 for correctly picking the Jets and Denver Broncos game. Be the first caller right now at 888-987-ESPN to qualify. We'll be selecting our winners this Friday, so keep it locked into DiPietro and Rothenberg and the Michael Kay Show for your pigskin payout. Let's go to Josh in Plainview. Josh, you're next up, my friend, on 98.7 ESPN.
Hey, good morning, guys. Hope everything's going well. I think at this point, as much as Dave, I know you're ready to, like, jump off the giant tail. I don't think Zach Wilson's bad. I just don't think the Jets, I think the Giants have more of a chance of making the playoffs than the Jets, just because how tough the actual.
No, but we're not. You're maybe misconstruing the question, Josh. We're not saying this year. This year, the Giants. I don't think they have much of a chance. Clearly, have a better chance. We're saying whose future is brighter?
I still go with the. You know what? I'm gonna change my answer. Then I'm gonna go with the Jets.
My man.
Not until I'm a Bills fan, until Gettleman's out of there, they need a whole rechange of that whole situation from the top down with the Giants. Like, they have, you could see the talents there, but it's just like, with Gettleman running the ship, it's just like, it's the same thing over and over and over again. And I feel bad for you Giants fans. You guys are taking a beating when you guys should be winning games here and there. And it's unfortunately, it's not happening. It doesn't look like it will happen. And, yeah, hang in there, guys. I'm sorry about that.
All right, thanks for the call. Do you see what we've become? I mean,
yeah, we're a joke.
I have Bills fans calling me, telling me how badly they feel. The Giants have become the two. We are the, oh, let me put my arm around you and tell you a story about how it'll get better one day. That's what the Giants are now.
Yeah, they've been an embarrassment. Welcome to my life as a Jets fan. But, I mean, it wasn't a long time ago where Sean McDermott went into Buffalo and we heard stories he's getting rid of, you know, he's changing up the players' lounge, taking out ping pong tables and everything else because he was trying to change the culture. So you get the right coach in charge with the right GM, develop players the right way, most importantly, find your quarterback, surround him with talent, things can change. The Buffalo Bills are a perfect example of that.
It's got to change. But you know what? The Buffalo Bills have the quarterback.
Well, exactly right.
So I don't know if the Giants have the quarterback.
Yeah, we don't know yet. You still don't know, and that's the unfortunate part. Like, and it's the problem both teams have had. Like, it's supposed to be a steady progression, right? Like, year one, either you decide, okay, you know, we're going to go with the Pat Mahomes model where we're going to sit him for the year, let him learn on the job a little bit, and then we'll unleash him in year two. But either way you slice it, however you choose to approach it, it's supposed to be a steady progression. So by year three, at the very least, is when, you know, all of a sudden your young kid is ready to establish himself as one of the better quarterbacks in the league.
That's right.
And unfortunately for the Jets and the Giants with the Jets with Sam Darnold and now the Giants with Daniel Jones, that hasn't happened.
No, because they've set it up poorly.
I mean, look at the progression for these guys, right? I mean, look at the progression for Lamar Jackson. Look at the progression. I mean, we kept talking about it, like the progression for Carson Wentz. Like, we were having, it seemed like every single year, it felt like, you know, quarterbacks going into their second year was when they took that huge jump. Right? And that's what it felt like. That second year,
it should be. It should be tremendous growing pains year one, and you should be a good quarterback probably by year two or certainly year three.
Yeah, and you got perfect examples of that right now with what's happening with the Chargers. And Herbert was great last year. It looks like he's going to be great this year. Joe Burrow got hurt last year, but, I mean, already to start the season, that kid's the real deal. It's about making the right pick and then developing the talent. And unfortunately for Giants fans right now, we're still trying to figure out whether or not we made the right pick.
Yeah, this is year three. And the Jets are way behind on that.
I'll tell you this, though.
Year one with this kid.
Dave, I will tell you this, though, and I brought it up yesterday, that awful take about you can't design runs for Daniel Jones. Listen, is Daniel Jones the same kind of athlete Lamar Jackson is? Absolutely not. But he's a damn good athlete.
He's a very underrated athlete.
So, I mean, that's one of the things he does really well. Like, that has to be a part of this team moving forward. Because right now, Saquon's compromised. Like, the running game is a lot of Daniel Jones. But, I mean, if that's what's going to make him what you need him to be, then that's what's going to have to be called.
You can't save bullets in the chamber. You can't.
No.
You can't say, you know, we want to keep this kid healthy. I'm assuming he's going to stay healthy, and I have to play to win. Now, it doesn't mean that he's got to take big hits. I'm not saying don't get down if there's a guy approaching you, but you need to do whatever it is to put him in the best position to win. Get a Samsung Galaxy A32 5G for only $299. No contract, Straight Talk Wireless, 5G capable device required. Actual availability, coverage, and speed may vary. All right. Now, I think it's fair to say Santiago has had, we started the show on what, January 4th, I think?
Yep.
Yeah, Santiago said the worst day that he's had so far on the show. He has a chance to redeem himself, and we'll see if he can, with three stars.
Today's three stars.
Yeah, you kind of know it's going to be a numbers theme on this edition.
Number three.
So we'll just start with the records prediction.
Robert Saleh is going to be my coach. Say they go, I don't know, 6-9.
6-9? They're going to play two less games than other teams?
No, I didn't want to say 6-9, did I?
Yeah, you're not going to convince me. Rick totally knew what he was doing there, and he definitely did that on purpose. You can't tell me otherwise.
Are you kidding me?
Thank you, Sandy.
You think that... You how gullible are you? You think Rick would make himself look foolish on purpose?
I don't think he sees it as him making himself look foolish. That's him slipping another one in there like he's known to do.
Show he even told you before he didn't do it on purpose.
I believe he did it on purpose. Oh, anyway, on the number two.
I once played blackjack for 36 straight hours.
Yeah, this is Bet Dave again going to Vegas and showing tendencies of being, I mean, I don't want to say a bad father, bad husband.
You let him go to Vegas, we definitely not going to see him.
But, you know, the thing earlier in the show about, like, you know, oh boy, if Ben got hit in the head, if the Giants were playing, that you had the right or wrong answer about it, but you just took so much time to come up with an answer. I worry about you, man. I worry about you.
Number one.
And I worry about myself most of all.
I'm going to be Price is Right guy. I'll say -299.
I apologize profusely to everyone for not knowing the rules most of all.
This guy sucks.
I apologize to Bob Barker, and I hope one day he can forgive me.
I'm stupid. You're smart. I was wrong. You were right.
The most puzzling
part. You're the best. I'm the worst.
Of the entire thing was then the next guess at the Texas Rangers run differential. You're like, oh, I'm not doing this anymore. I'm not playing the Price is Right games. When you're the one that brought up the Price is Right to begin with.
And then the follow-up, you said that I won. So, I mean, whatever.
I'll take 170.
you really, you know what? It would make sense if we were in mid, like, Nixon Rangers season. But this is as rested as you should be. And you still laid an egg. But you know what? You rebounded nicely with a very solid... Very well done. Three stars. Montgomery on the mound for the Yankees tonight. We'll see if they can get a victory. And it's Rule 76.
No excuses. Play like a champion. It's DPHO Rothenberg and...
Everybody.
On 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the DPHO and Rothenberg podcast. Listen live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York. The ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN.